I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully, everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit off red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Are there any apologies? Thank you. Item two, any declarations of interest? And item three is the action sheet arising from the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 18th of April 2024. And go through it for accuracy. Page one, page two, and page three. I have a proposer and seconder, please. Councillor Mathers. And Councillor Kyle. Any questions? Item four is the notice of motion, the projected rates increase. And if Councillor Enright would like to speak to that.
Thank you very much, Chair. I assume I won't have to reread the motion on the root and branch re-examination of a proposed capital expenditure in Council. We've read that at main Council. My seconder, Tierna Howey, will want to say a few words herself, and then I'd like to sum up after the debate, Chair, as per normal. It's Alliance's view that Council investment plans fall into one of three categories. Firstly, those that have a positive cash flow, have good payback on investment and improve the financial position of the ratepayer. Green economy projects are the best example of these, as they have positive cash flow from year one by reducing expenses, increasing revenues or expanding the rate space. There is essentially no upper limit to these types of projects, and indeed the Alliance Party has suggested 10 different green economy projects over the last four rate cycles that we believe could improve Council's revenue situation by anything up to $5 million a year, making Council far better financially equipped to afford other capital projects. Secondly, there are those projects that are frontline services and that we are required to deliver, that do not have a cash flow positive or financial payback to Council. Good examples of these are the Newry City Park project or the long-awaited Newcastle Leisure Centre, where the payback can mostly be stated in socio-economic terms. If we can ensure we husband ratepayers' resources to give us the financial ability to deliver these projects without big rate increases, we should be aiming to deliver projects like this that are part of our core duties as a council. Thirdly, there are projects related to admin, overheads, and accommodation. Like NGOs or charities, councils have a duty to minimise back office and admin costs. We have a duty to minimise the cost of these projects to ensure the rates can be kept to a minimum while delivering frontline services in the most effective manner. To create an inordinately expensive prestige project out of this third category is not a financially responsible thing to do. The proposed Newry Civic Centre at Abbeyway is an example of this. On this particular project, I have a large number of unanswered questions which I have submitted to the NCCR Project Board that we will not have time to cover at this meeting. I am still awaiting detailed replies. The governance of not allowing these questions to be discussed at programme board meetings has been referred to the Northern Ireland Audit Office, Internal Audit and the Local Government Ombudsman. Such a project should never be undertaken without a clear cost-benefit case, but this is what we are doing in this particular case. On this particular admin-related project, we're getting estimates of between 14 million and 17 million for a 5,800 square metres building that is far larger than we need as a council to house our staff. Benchmarking with similar developments suggests the true cost to our capital budget will be closer to 30 million. Despite many requests for clarification on the real cost of this project, no replies clarifying what council costings would be covered by this project have been received. As my colleague Tierna Hawley will point out, we need to have a plan B for the proposed Newry Civic Centre project that is more realistically based on providing good accommodation and on-site parking for our staff. Chair, my motion should be referred to the Strategic Finance Committee with a clear instruction that we reduce the long-term cost of borrowing to the revenue budget, which I understand is running at about 12.5% of revenues at the moment. I've written to Josephine Kelly to clarify this point. We can ill afford to borrow additional tens of millions of pounds for projects like this. We should direct a capital project so that a good payback and positive cash flow be prioritised. After that, frontline services like parks or leisure centres need to be prioritised. And we need to make it clear that projects associated with admin, overheads or accommodation need to be minimised to the greatest degree possible, and we ensure that we have sufficient capital within a moderated ongoing cost to impact on the revenue budget to keep rates increases as close as possible to zero over the next few years, as there is a serious difficulty of affordability about rates at the current time. Thank you, Chair. I invite my seconder now to say a few words.
Okay, I come in now, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Following from Councillor Enright's speech regarding the inappropriateness of a large admin building consuming such a large part of our capital budget, I wanted to highlight a few key elements of common sense regarding the Newry Civic Centre project and for a consideration of a Plan B. Firstly, Chair, planning objections. This site includes planning objections from multiple key statutory agencies. NI Water has opposed this project due to capacity issues with sewage, DFI Rivers, the Catholic Church. There has been over 2,500 individual objections been lodged against this project, and DFI Roads has deemed this project to be unacceptable, stating that the 243 spaces at Abbey Way are to be maintained. And if we are to include the new council staff workers at this site, this will mean there will be 376 car parking spaces that need to be provided at the site. On the subject of parking, Chair, the council has put forth proposals to create car parking facilities at Cecil Street and North Street to offset the number of spaces required at this site. This would create 49 spaces at Cecil Street and 96 at North Street. North Street is a free car parking facility within Newry City, which is normally used by low-paid retail workers or office staff and regularly at full capacity. Withdrawing these car parking spaces would prove hugely unpopular amongst the business community in Newry. And lastly, the lots of car parking facilities in Abbey Way also reduces car parking facilities and is a huge loss to residents, visitors and businesses. And my third point is the public consultation. In 2021, the Council launched a public consultation on the Civic Hub project. The public's views were made abundantly clear, with the consultation receiving the highest number of responses in any consultation in Council's history, which was 1,585, as well as over 6,000 individual comments. 70% of these respondents ranked the Newry Civic Hub as fifth out of five when given a chance of the projects they wished to be prioritised in Newry. Overall, Chair, it is abundantly clear in my view that this project must have a Plan B, and other locations such as the Dunns or Little sites with on-site parking should be considered as alternative options to provide the necessary office accommodation with parking to our Newry-based staff and to save our ratepayers from spending millions on an unnecessary but crucially an unwanted project in Newry City. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, just a point of clarity before we go to the officer. Can I ask Councillor Enright just to clarify what his actual proposal is? Because it's not overly clear to me what is being asked or what the actual end goal of this is, because the only thing that's been mentioned more than once is the Civic Hub, but we have a larger capital program and more than just one item. So just for clarity, I'd like to know what the proposal was from what was read out.
Yes, go ahead.
My motion is clarified in the first sentence in view of the cost of living pressures on ratepayers, council must tailor its investment plans to what the people of Newry, Moore and Down can actually afford. Current projected rates increases in our council over the next few years are unsustainable both in the short term and longer term. And I'm suggesting a root and branch re-examination of capital expenditure in order to reduce the impact on our revenue budget of borrowings. And the reason why I picked out the Newry Civic Centre in particular out of all the projects is simply because it's the largest one that might require the biggest amount of borrowing going forward. And furthermore, it's an exemplar of a project that's primarily aimed at admin and doesn't actually fulfil the two key criteria that we're looking for in investments for our project, i.e. a good cash flow and good return to the ratepayer on one hand, or providing services like parks and leisure centres that we are primarily required to do as under our charter as a council. But I hope that's clear.
Conor Mallon is going to speak to the paper.
Thanks, Chair. The report tabled tonight, Councillor sets out the responses to the notice of motion from Councillor Enright and addresses the following areas. There is detail there around the rates and financial scrutiny. There's information around the suitable office accommodation and the removal of the council chamber. And in respect of the cost and the minimising the size of the facility, we are allowing for 75% of occupancy in the building versus the number of staff that will be accommodated within the building. So that's a conscious decision this council has been taking before COVID, and it continues post-COVID. So our calculations are set out in the report is that there's 215 staff who are currently accommodated and work in Newry, and we will be providing 162 desks within the new facility. So that's a 75% allocation of desks versus staff who will be working there, and we believe that that's a very efficient model going forward, and it replicates a model that's in place across other public sector bodies. If we want to deal with the questions around the planning objections, there's no planning objections from statutory consultees. There have been concerns raised in respect of the information that's been submitted as part of the planning process. That is not unusual. And especially on a project of this size, there will be toing and froing between applicants through the planning department and statutory consultees. We have been in discussion with all the statutory consultees, and further responses will be issued to DFI Roads and to DFI Rivers and NI Water in the coming days that will address the concerns that they have raised. And that's something that we're actively pursuing. With respect to North Street site, the North Street site is not a car park. It may be used as a car park, and it was such following the works to Merchants Quay back a number of years ago when a meanwhile use was agreed by DFC, and this was managed by Newry Bid. As set out, I think, in the report, we have been engaging with DFC in respect of a lease on this site for a long-term lease with the council, and they have been satisfied that we would move forward and put a planning application in for a formal car park space at North Street in parallel with them lease negotiations. The report also deals with alternative sites, and I think on numerous occasions we have advised on the alternative site selection process that goes back to 2021, and we have appended the decision-making process of council within the Appendix 1 in this report, which set out the agreement of council to proceed with this project at the Abbey Way site following the consideration of that extensive site selection process. With respect to car parking provision, we have, as I say, set out in the report the provision of car parking demand on the basis of this facility and this new building. We must stress that there's 182 people who work in the council who are currently using the car parking facilities and car parking public spaces in Newry. So we are not adding to that demand or that burden on car parking in Newry because we're moving them from one location to another, whether that be Monaghan Row, McGrath House or Bagnall's Castle. The additional staff we will be bringing into the centre of Newry are the 33 staff that are currently accommodating space in Greenback Industrial Estate, and I think that's been set out in the report. The costs have been updated at all stages through this project in line with the RIBA plan of work stage reports, and the current estimated costs from our professional cost consultants who have been involved in this project for the past number of years are set out in the report at 14.97 million plus 2 million for the BRCD funded public realm elements of the Civic Hub. So there is confusion around, I believe, what the costs are. I think that removes any confusion that the costs of the Civic Hub are 14.97 and the public realm is 2, which makes the project circa 17 million. We have also addressed some issues around the office market in Ireland and GB since COVID, and we have included an extract from CBRE around the market outlook for 2024, which would suggest that it's positive. So the recommendations in the report are set out in section 3, and 3.1 is to proceed as per the council decision to deliver the NCCR programme of works as agreed, including development of the civic and regional hub at Abbey Way, Newry. To note council's decision for 2 offices, one in Newry and one in Downpatrick. Note that the new civic hub in Newry provides the facilities to deliver on the needs of the council going forward in respect of accommodation for both staff and elected members, and is in line with the council's agile working policy. To note that an extensive site selection exercise was completed in 2019 that considered the Little site, the council, and council approved the Abbey Way site's preferred location for the civic hub. And to note that it is anticipated that the car park income levels at Abbey Way will not be negatively impacted.
Councillor Mathers.
Thanks, Chair. As a person who was born and bred in Newry, I have watched over the years how this area was totally underfunded and neglected by consecutive British governments. I've witnessed at first hand the devastating impact that the conflict had on many families, including my own, and many of my friends and neighbours had to leave these shores to make a better life for themselves. Newry had one of the highest rates of unemployment, and the outlook was indeed very bleak. Since being elected as a councillor for Newry last year, I've watched quietly, trying to listen and learn of the fears and expectations of the people of Newry and indeed the whole district. What I have learned is that for the first time in a very long time, investment and hope is returning to the Newry area. Investment in a number of key projects have taken place, and people in the voluntary community, public and private sectors are welcoming this. What I have also learned is that their elected members actively trying to scupper these projects, and I talk about Alliance members in particular. At every meeting which I have been part of, whether that's the Newry projects or projects for South Down, these members are constantly attempting to stall or even place doubts on projects. As an elected rep for the Newry DEA, it is not acceptable for the Alliance Party to cast a shadow over investment in Newry City. Your strategy to stymie public investment is ill-advised and corrupted by blatant lack of evidence. Sinn Féin is providing hope and stability for the young people from our area who for the first time are witnessing approximately £200 million of investment into the area. The old Stormont regime provided Newry with no investment but high unemployment. Sinn Féin is intent on growing our local economy, creating more job opportunities, providing better working conditions for our staff in this council, and impressing upon potential investors that the local government in this area is fit for purpose and ready to do business with those who are willing to invest in our people and our future. People of Newry, on the strength of our manifesto, elected 4 out of 6 Sinn Féin councillors to represent Newry. They give us the mandate to do what is best for Newry, and that's what we intend to do. Jimmy, thanks. Sure.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm not going to go into a particular capital projects. I concur with a lot of what the previous speaker, Councillor Mathers, has said and share his optimism for this area in terms of investment in the area and attracting investment from the private sector as well, because let's remember, this is what the whole regeneration project is all about. It is showing that as a public sector, we're confident to spend in our area, and it in turn shows the private sector our confidence. We want to get, you know, money in and investment from the private sector. I was at a conference yesterday in Killeavy Castle with DBAC, and we had American investors over, and I was speaking to a number of people that had come down, businesses that were there. There were a lot of key businesses from Dublin to Belfast. They were all talking about the lack of investment in the centre of the economic corridor and the opportunities that we have here, that we need as councillors to be brave and grasp that opportunity to ensure that we deliver on this investment. When I became a councillor, I suppose the jobs, you know, you look at it's at the bins and leisure centres and parks. You didn't think in your wildest dreams that you'd get an opportunity to get involved in economic corridors, in Belfast Region City deals, with up to £1 billion of money to spend to really enhance our area. If we enhance our principal city within the district, that then goes out from that. And the area that I live in, Steve Goodin, will get benefits from that as well. I understand that there's issues and concerns around all capital projects. That's normal. We'll have any big capital project that we deliver, we'll have risks, we'll have concerns, we'll have to have mitigations for some of the risks. That's the job of the programme board. And the 3 years that I was in the programme board, we done that job as diligently as we could. And I know the programme board now does that and reports to SDNR. We have to let the programme board and its officers and our elected members that's on it get on with the nuts and bolts of this work and take the political campaigning out of it, because it doesn't serve anybody. In the motion in front of us, as Councillor Enright has summed up, that he wants us to tailor our investment plans because of the increase in rates year on year, he asked to refer to the Strategic Finance Working Group. I, along with Councillor Hannan, have sat in that group for a number of years. That is exactly the remit of the group. We have a motion sitting in front of us asking us to tailor our investment or our capital plans because of rising costs. We do that year in, year out. We look at our capital programme, we make sure that we're not biting off more than we can chew, that we can afford the capital programme that we're delivering, and we make amendments. That is the job of SFWG. It doesn't need a motion to come here to outline what SFWG's remit is. So, of course, we support looking at capital programmes. Looking at all capital programmes, we support it. But I said in this chamber before, when we identify from a large capital programme where we have a ratio of 2-1 to deliver, we have an obligation on the ratepayer to draw down as much money from off the back externally, not on the back of our ratepayer, the 2-1 ratio. We have an absolute obligation to deliver projects of that magnitude. When we talk about cost-benefit analysis of singular projects, these projects go through a stringent process with the department. Independent economists in the department have gone through the outlined business cases. We had two projects in the tourism and regeneration pillar, got them through and scored quite highly. These are independently appraised for a cost-benefit analysis. And it's all around the entire regeneration of the Newry area, from the park to the theatre. If we want to drill down into singular issues in terms of car parking, we can drill down to singular issues in terms of car parking within the Elbert Basin, which would be a problem, because we talked circa 15 spaces for people with disabilities. We can drill it into the car parking at the theatre and conference centre and say we're not building it because there's inadequate car parking around that site. We can drill down into the car parking about any other project and say it falls in that. That is an issue for planning. And we decided when I was on the programme board that we'd have car parking and transportation strategy for the entire Newry area. We want to make Newry a more vibrant place for people to live in, work in, and meet up and use the public spaces and the public realm in the city centre. To do that, we're going to have difficult conversations about being able to park at the door of every single project that we deliver. We can't do it at the park. We can't do it at the theatre conference. I don't know why we're dying over a ditch about doing it at the Civic Hub. And I don't want those comments to be misinterpreted that Councillor Byrne doesn't want any car parking at Civic Hub. Of course I do. I fully bought into the car parking and transportation strategy. But we've got to be growing up about it and deliver a strategy that actually delivers for the entire city and not a strategy solely on one singular capital project. So, yeah, and Chair, in summary, I agree with tailoring our investment plans through the SFWG. That's what we do already. I think Councillor Hannan will probably state the same. We do that already. We don't need this motion to come in front of us to state what we're already doing. So I have no issue with the ask from Councillor Enright, but I would ask that we stop attacking singular projects and look at the bigger picture for Newry Morning Down.
Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, let's talk to a member of the programme board. At those meetings, I've always said on regular occasions that whenever Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II designated the city status on Newry, that really we never embraced the full opportunity of that in terms of regeneration and obviously attracting necessary investment to the city and obviously the benefits that that brings in to the wider district, including my own DA of Sleaf-Gullion. So I don't think anybody should be deliberately obstructive about these projects. But what I would say is there are genuine concerns and issues as well that need to be addressed. And it's okay to say that there is a planning process to follow. But the reality is there are implications based on the responses that we've seen so far. We have to try and address them, and they can't be ignored. And as elected representatives, we have a job to do, each one of us, to scrutinise anything that comes through this council, particularly when it's a substantial level of money, because we're the ones that are left obviously accountable and responsible for that whenever those decisions are made. And I think there is, to a certain extent, maybe there is some frustration amongst members that whenever they do try to do that, that they're somehow pushed back or said, listen, your motives aren't with the right intent. And I don't know what motivates everybody in here. I can only speak for myself in that regard. And I do support in principle the projects, and I've already outlined that previously, both in public and in private. But we can't ignore that there are issues developing here, and there have been issues over the last number of years, and you know that as well. Councillor Byrne has been on the project board and we've tried to deal with those issues as and when they come before us. But we can't ignore them either. And we have to, tackle them head on to allow this type of investment to take place, because we can't create further problems for the area as well. And those issues do need to be addressed in a responsible and constructive way. And if it does take time to scrutinise that the way that's required, councillors should be given that space, particularly when it is that level of investment that we're looking at. And we want to get this right, because it's public money in the first instance, and it also has to be of the benefit that we want it to be for our city and for the wider district. So it's just a few comments, not a particular point on it, but just comments that whilst I'm supportive of the projects, we have to give that space and time for that scrutiny. And if there are issues, we can't ignore them either. And councillors have to be given that space and time to try and interrogate those as a body as well. So just a comment, Chair, on it, more so than any particular point.
Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to touch basically on the actual motion and the recommendations. Sinn Féin will be accepting the recommendations and supporting the recommendations of the officers that are in front of us. Councillor Taylor said two words there that really struck a nerve with me, and it was responsible and constructive. And I would like to think that anybody who's elected into Newry Morning Down Council to represent their DEAs and their people are responsible and constructive. I just feel, having sat in this committee for 5 years and having been through this subject matter quite a few times, it was subject to a governance review, which by an external audit company who came back and said that there was no issues with governance, that everything was being done within the confines of the way it should be. But yet we are coming back again nearly to the start to rehearse something that has been rehearsed in council and voted on and debated and whatever, and now we're back again. I wanted to make a couple of points. In the motion it says it's a non-essential project. If we look at the public sector campus that we're actually sitting in tonight and debating this, it's been one of the most successful projects in the north, where we see the likes of Housing Executive, Youth Justice, Fire, the Probation Board, the Fire Service, all being able to work under the one campus, and ourselves as councillors and council meetings. One could argue we're actually a victim of our own success, because we're at capacity, where if you go to try and book a room, you nearly can't get one, that the chamber's being fully utilised. It was an agreement back long before ever I was in council that there would be two chambers because of the size of the district. I don't think it's helpful for elected members to say that one should be pitted against the other. They should both be excellent centres for our district, and they should be able to service the needs of meetings, of conferences, and whatever else needs to happen. It touches again on the review of sites, where again, if you go through the project minutes and the board meetings and go through even the audit reports that have been, it's quite clear that all of the sites were looked at and the Abbey Way was determined to be the best suitable site. If it becomes an issue down the line that it's not, that's when you start to go and look at alternatives. But we aren't even at that place yet. And I could see Councillor Enright nodding and, you know, joking in the corner there. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're coming and you're asking for Plan B whenever we've been through an audit review that said there was no need to go down that route yet. But I don't know if you read the audit report yet, Councillor Enright. I would point as well, in relation to the comments around not the no need for hybrid working, there was an article that I read in the Irish News, and I'll quote directly from it, on the 6th of April in 2024, where a private company is opening up a hybrid space in Newry. And a quote, I don't know who wrote it, but it's out of the Irish News, that said, the need for high-quality, flexible workspaces continues to soar as hybrid working becomes the default for companies of all sizes. So are we not showing us as the council as being innovative in trying to provide that type of space? Councillor Byrne focused there on the meeting that happened yesterday with DBEC, where we are like one of the most important economic corridors on the island of Ireland. Surely to have a base there in Newry where we could be hosting the likes of Oireachtas meetings and, you know, North-South inter-council meetings, all those things, you know, and even for ourselves, where the fact that you have to go to Killeavy to even have the meeting, you know, you should be able to have it in a council centre. And all this feeds into the regeneration of the Newry area. And look, I'm a Downpatrick person through and through and a Downpatrick councillor, and I want to see that type of investment come into Downpatrick. Councillor Sharvin's in the chamber tonight. We were presented with a very innovative vision for Downpatrick most recently in the Downpatrick Regeneration Working Group, where businesses and big companies are hammering down the door trying to get in to Downpatrick. You know, so, you know, the narrative that one area is getting more than another, we're all working within our own areas to get as much investment as we can. And I just think this motion to appoint nearly takes us back, whereas we should be looking forward and we should all be working together and trying to get as much investment into this district that we can.
Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose whenever such a topic like this comes up frequently, and at previous times, I've also asked the Chief Executive as well, and she has very kindly confirmed. I think it's really important, and particularly given that there is staff members in this chamber tonight, that no matter what happens, Downpatrick will continue to serve as an office and staff jobs within Downpatrick are safe. Because it was batted about that, oh, everything's moving to Newry. And again, I think it's really important to emphasise that Downpatrick is extremely important to Newry Mourne and Down, and that we continue to reassure our staff that they will not be affected and that what has been spun is complete and utter lies. Chair, there's a number of things that other members have touched on, and car parking seems a thing. And I agree there needs to be adequate parking. But from my own personal experience within my job, my office has no dedicated parking. I have to go find a car park if I drive into the office, which thankfully I don't do often. But whenever I do, because I have the luxury of hybrid working, I need to go and find a car parking space within Belfast that is not provided by my employer that I have to pay for myself. So I think it's really important that we don't get hung up on car parks. There is a plan process, and DFI have fed into that, and the officer says they're working through that at the moment to deal with that. Again, emphasising, I agree parking should be provided and adequate parking be provided. Secondly, it's noted in the recommendations that whenever the councils were merging, as the super council at the time was the name, that we would have two offices, you know, one in Downpatrick and one in Newry. And that is what we have agreed, and that is what we're continuing to lead and deliver on. The there's always, there's obviously other elements within our capital program that needs to be mentioned, but we didn't mention the theatre and conference. You know, that is fully funded by the council, but clearly there's no issue with the theatre and conference being built. You know, that's going to be funded by the council and is a great addition to the arts, not just in the Newry area, but actually it will be a great facility for everyone within the district and even the north. I do want to make an amendment, and I accept Councillor Byrne's comment about, you know, SFWG is there, and even most recently up to the rates. I challenged a couple of capital programme items on it, and Jared did go and clarify why they were on it. But I think it is fair that we amend the officer's recommendation to include that we do carry out a review of our capital programme at SFWG to identify if the capital programmes that is planned is an accurate reflection of the council's objectives, and if not, then through SFWG that we would continue to review that. I think that's the most appropriate place. But, Chair, again, if I sat here and being pro-grill, I would go, yeah, give Newry nothing and bring everything down, Patrick. But also what we have to be mindful of is what income regeneration and actually generating of revenue to the council that potentially all these have for us will benefit all of our ratepayers. You know, if there's more capital investment being brought in, if there's more revenue money being raised by the council, then actually that could be invested right across, not just in the Downpatrick DA. It could be in Rowallan, Sleaf, Crib, Crockleave. You know, the Moorns, I don't want to miss anyone out in Sleaf Guardian. But, Chair, look, I'm happy to make the proposal of the OSCE recommendation with that one addition that we do review the capital programme at the SFWG.
Can I just clarify with that amendment that we are clear that we would be still proceeding to continue to deliver?
As the officer's recommendation stated in the addition of that we review the capital programme at SFOG, that we do not stop anything at the moment.
I think that's really important so that there's no any kind of confusion or anything at a later stage.
Chair, sorry for jumping in, but I actually have to leave now in 1 minute. I have to be in Newry in 20 minutes. But just to say, you've seconded the proposal. I know. I've got a helicopter in the environment.
He doesn't actually, just for the record, he doesn't have it.
This is audio recorded, isn't it? Councillor Lewis just reminded me it's audio recorded, so
yeah.
I'll think of me, excuse my own. But fully support the proposal from the officers and fully support the amendment. Just want to say that because I won't be here for the vote.
Councillor Quinn.
Just a question. Whenever the Abbeyway was agreed back, I'm not too sure when it was, what was the sort of estimated time frame when it would be, the work would start to be commencing, and if there is one, and then if that's answered, Chair, would you mind me being able to come back?
So Abbeyway site was agreed pre-COVID, and obviously there was a programme of works put in at that time. There was a number of things then that happened from that period that Councillor Hanlon has referred to, which I suppose slowed things up in our delivery. And you would have heard me saying at our previous scenario in relation to capital project, all delays create additional costs, and that's one of the big challenges for us. Obviously, then we've continued to work through. So, ideally, we would have loved to have been on site at this stage, but we're continuing to do the delivery process to get us on planning and then actually coming forward. So, we're out to tender at the minute. We're in planning. But we obviously continually review through the programme board that programme, and it will continue to move. Even when we get on site, it will continue to move until we finish.
Councillor Riley.
Thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, I had concerns about this site from day one, and I had always hoped that the new Civic Centre would have been built at Middlebank, taking up a couple of acres out of those 16 acres, and you would have had an absolutely fantastic facility for Newry. It would have been set apart from other civic centres throughout Northern Ireland or Ireland or the whole UK. But just wanted to counter some of Councillor Mather's assertions. You know, he said that the old Stormont didn't do anything for this area and neglected it. But from the 50s on, and I'm not going to go into a history lesson, but from the 50s on, the old Stormont government built Daisy Hill. They built the dual carriageway between Newry and Warren Point. They built Warren Point a port. They vested hundreds of acres of ground for industrial development in Newry, and they invested hundreds of, not hundreds, but tens of acres of land to build social housing in Newry. So they did actually do quite a bit, and I have to remind Aidan, it was the campaign of violence that really hurt Newry and hurt the whole of South Down. But we can argue about that in the future, but that's my perspective on it. Chairman, Councillor Enright has raised very valid issues. There's no question or doubt about that. And he has instilled doubt in the minds of a lot of people, not just in the council, but outside the council. And I think within a lot of the agencies and authorities within Newry, including the Newry Parish and the people who are responsible for that beautiful cathedral. But at the end of the day, there's 300 jobs dependent on having a civic centre in Newry. And if you look at other areas where you have a big civic hub in the middle of the city, those people going out for their coffees or their lunch or whatever, they actually generate a lot of income, and that attracts other people in. And it would definitely help to regenerate Newry City Centre, I have no doubt about that. But we have our concerns on the financial aspect of it and the increase in infrastructure costs, and also on the parking issues. Will they ever be fully resolved? I heard Connor tonight saying about the North Street flats where they used to be, now an unofficial car park. But are you saying, Connor, that the council is actually investigating the purchase of that for a permanent car park? And if that did happen, would that resolve the parking issues? But, Chairman, those are the DUP analysis of it. We have concerns, but we recognise the importance of it and of having a city centre hub. And as Councillor Taylor pointed out, whenever the Queen did designate Newry a city, there was this expectation that, you know, we would be able to capitalise on that and move forward. And maybe this is the first actual sense that we will be able to get a major investment in the city. So it's good news, but we're tinged with apprehension and concern at the same time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose I just want to have the opportunity to address a few of the things that have been raised in the Chamber. Good governance and the running of good governance is something that, as Chief Executive, I take very seriously, and Councillor Hannan referred to how serious you and Councillor Taylor referred to it as well, as how serious you as councillors take good governance. And I suppose, you know, I can give you the reassurance that we continue to operate in the format of good governance. We have various structures set up to manage these projects, including a programme board. We do give scrutiny through the Strategic Finance Working Group. We're scrutinising tonight through the FP&R committee as well. And we also, as I've said previously, we as council appoint a number of specialist consultants who work with us in the delivery of these projects. So they do the cost analysis for us, they do the business cases, and they ensure that we have as accurate of figures as you can have at a point in time. And I know there has been reference to the potential costs of the Civic Centre by a Councillor Enright. And I suppose what I would say on that matter is we appoint quantity surveyors who are the qualified professionals who actually determine potential costs for a construction project, pre-construction, and then indeed work on the construction project through construction to completion. So we would be heavily reliant on our QSs in relation to that. The other thing I think that has been maybe just missed a wee bit tonight, but it is referred to in the paper, and Councillor Enright rightly refers to the social aspects of any project and the importance of social aspects of any project. Council took a decision a number of years ago to actually, I suppose, work with the Health Trust to enable and encourage the retention and the development of services at Daisy Hill. We were very, very successful and delighted to actually sell our Monaghan Rose site to the Southern Trust last year, and we are actually currently in occupation with the Southern Trust, which has enabled them to do other work in Daisy Hill and create expansion and allow them to, I suppose, create settlement of their services. So the fact that this has actually a social aspect to it as well is critical, because it actually protects some of the health provision in the area as well. And just recently, actually, I had somebody in with me from Newry who said, gosh, the council don't look like they exist anymore, because when you come into the building in Monaghan Row, you very much see the branding of the Health Trust, and it looks like a Health Trust building, and that is absolutely fantastic. But we also want to ensure we retain the presence of Newry Morne and Down Council in Newry as well, and that was a decision taken by council as far back as 2014 when we were in the statutory transition committees, I think it was, Sarah, and then the voluntary transition committees, then the statutory transition committees, right through to the formation of the council. And I suppose as officers, that's what we have continued to deliver on. I also think it's really important to really rest on the fact that there has been a significant consideration of sites. Councillor Riley referred to the Albert Basin. I think you referred to it as the Middle Bank. We would know it more accurately now as the Albert Basin, soon to be the Newry City Park. And Councillor Enright in recent correspondence also referred to the idea of the development of the Civic Centre on the Albert Basin. I think if a lot of the elected reps in this chamber, particularly those even who weren't elected at the time in Newry, Councillor Mathers has referred to the fact that he's just a year in, but he will and yous will remember that there was a significant lobby in relation to the Albert Basin and the development of a 15-acre park. At one point, officers, and it would have been Liam Hannaway as chief executive, was keen to look at the opportunity to develop a civic centre on that site because, as Councillor Riley rightly referred, it would have potentially been a good option. But there was a notice of motion came through this council that referred to the need to develop a 15-acre park, which did not include a civic centre. So I think it's very important to remember that piece of history. And there's those that may not have been that close to the project that maybe have had a wee bit of oversight in that. I also think it's really important to have that on record as well, that it doesn't come out of tonight that the council are now considering the Albert Basin again, because that would create another set of problems for us, because the Albert Basin has been allocated £18 million worth of funding for the development of a park. And in relation to the various different planning issues, those that sit on planning committee and those that have been involved in any kind of planning approvals will know that we encounter many issues, and developers always encounter many issues in relation to planning. I have sat on many of our planning committees, I've sat with many developers, and one of the biggest challenges that they face in Newry is actually parking generally. And I suppose that is why we have the transportation study that is going on across Newry. Councillor Riley asked, does North Street solve the problem? North Street hopefully will not just look at our issue with parking, but will actually provide an additional provision for Newry City and the regeneration of it moving forward. And that's what the traffic and transportation study is about. And that's what the work in relation to that is very, very much about. I think we also need to be cognisant of the fact that whilst we do face challenges in our area from a public transport perspective, there is a move from the green agenda and looking towards how we actually look at sustainable travel, etc. So the creation of additional car parking spaces and flat tarmacked areas right across Newry would potentially not be in the best interests of anyone. So we need to look at the sustainable transport. Connor was saying to me today that I think scooters are being legalised in the south, and suggested maybe that will happen in the north. And we did have an interesting thought about us all going to work on a scooter. So there's going to be opportunities as we move forward in the future of looking at green transport and how we manage that, whether that be bikes or whatever. So I suppose just for me to wrap up from the perspective of governance, you know, we did do a governance review, and I had actually asked our audit committee, would they consider a governance review back in 2021 because of all these very concerns that have been raised at that time. And we did do the governance review. It was done by our independent internal auditors, an external company. And just for clarity for people, we gave people the opportunity to review that document recently. That's not relating to this notice of motion. That actually was to give people a bit of history and a bit of background, because we have a number of councillors in this chamber who are new, and they've been asking for individual briefings, but that gives you an opportunity to read it and kind of get the whole history, I suppose, in one sitting. And Sarah has very kindly facilitated more than 1 hour for people to read, because we understand that it is a very extensive document. I would also just say, for the record, it is a closed item. It is one that has been considered and has been requested by people externally from the council on a number of occasions, and has been through the rigours of our freedom of information requests, etc. So those matters have been addressed directly with people who have requested the report. So I suppose just from our perspective, the recommendations are in front of the committee, and just on the amendment made by Councillor Sharvin, just to ensure that that includes that word, that we will continue to deliver, because we don't want any further delays. We will continue to report back through the programme board if there are issues, and I have no doubt that we will encounter many challenges, as we do with every capital project that we deliver. I was involved in the delivery of this project. I worked the whole way through the construction of this project, and I can tell you that at that time people weren't necessarily that keen on this project, and Councillor Hanlon has rightly referred to it. This is one of the most successful sites in Northern Ireland. This is the only public sector campus. I say, when people ask me what do you see success as in this, and the success of this campus is the totem sign at the entrance that lists all the agencies that are occupying it. And I suppose the other thing I just want to clarify, people have referred to the Downpatrick staff. We're not intending to move anybody to Newry, but I also think it's really important to reflect on the Newry staff at this point. The Newry staff have been so cooperative with us as we sold our building. They've moved across different sites. They're located all over the place. We're all squashed into the, I am in an office at the minute, and you could have five of us in it at different times. There's many other staff in the same position. Our staff in Newry also need to know that we're investing in them and that we're going to be delivering offices. So they need to know and have that reassurance, the same as the Downpatrick staff. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Enright, are you coming back in?
Chair, in summing up, I wish to express concerns over section 2.5 of the management report tonight, where it expresses concern over nugatory costs. And this worrying attitude to what are sunk costs from a financial point of view. This points up a lack of understanding of how to manage large projects. The fact that we have sunk substantial costs into something is not a justification for continuing to do so. There comes a time when we need to realise we're dealing with a financial black hole and start to recover the situation with a plan B. My colleague, Councillor Hanlon, referred to this point, but could I also point out to Councillor Hanlon that my colleague, Councillor Hoey, did point out that the DFI has severe parking concerns and in our water considerable sewage concerns with the current site. And my colleague, Councillor Howie, did suggest two sites, the Lidl site and the Dunn site, which have neither of these principles and would allow on-site parking for staff. If we want prestige projects, we should be looking to either the first category of positive cash flow investments or the second category of frontline services like parks and leisure centres that we have a duty to deliver for ratepayers. There is no cost justification for a second prestige admin HQ over and above what we strictly need for our Newry staff. Picking up on what Councillor Sharvin's point was, that no one is suggesting we don't need a good office for our staff in Newry. We need a good office for our staff in Newry with parking, that they don't have to walk a kilometre away to Cecil Street and come back again to actually enter. I agree with what Councillor Riley said. His point was an excellent point about an alternative site on the Albert Basin site. There are, as far as I understand it, 13 decent sites that could be used within the Newry city area. As I said earlier, my motion should be referred to the Strategic Finance Committee with a clear instruction that we reduce the long-term cost of borrowing to the revenue budget, which I understand is currently running at 12.5% of our revenues at the moment. Were we to boost our borrowings by a further tens of millions of pounds, that would rise from 12.5% to a higher figure. If we include the gondola project, it would probably rise by 50 million altogether and could double our borrowing cost. Chair, picking up on what Councillor Byrne was saying, I don't agree with what he was saying about tailoring projects. What we need to be doing is prioritising projects. We should be directing the Strategic Committee, Finance Committee, that capital projects with a good payback and positive cash flow needs to be prioritised first, and that frontline services like parks or leisure centres need to be prioritised second, probably with the benefit of the cash flow coming from the first set of projects. We need to make it clear that projects associated with admin, overheads or accommodation need to be minimised to the greatest possible degree to ensure that we have sufficient capital budget within a moderate ongoing cost to our revenue budget to keep rates increases as close as possible to zero over the next few years, something we will not be able to do if we significantly increase our level of borrowing. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just want to come in on a point of clarity. I was in no way endorsing a Plan B. So just to make that very clear for the Chamber, if it came across like that, it shouldn't have. I'm actually the polar opposite of it. We need to focus on the project that we have in front of us. I also don't agree with this going to Strategic Finance Working Group, because it's just going to be rehearsed again, exactly what we're doing now. So I don't see the benefit of it going into Strategic Finance. As Councillor Byrne alluded to earlier, there's been many Strategic Finance Working Groups. It was only me and him were the only ones in the Chamber representing our parties. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we're going to look at Strategic Finance, everybody needs to be part of the room. And I've said that many, many times in this Chamber. And, you know, I just don't see the relevance of this going back into it.
Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, mine's point of clarity as well, Chair. So is the Alliance Party now suggesting that the design for the new city park be amended and significantly impacted with the creation of a civic hub at the site? And would we then need to go back out to public consultation and go back to the departments with the amended drawings? Because we have signed a contract for funding for the Newry Civic Park, which is a significant, it's very little council cost actually, most of it's external funding. So I'd like clarity, is the Alliance Party proposing that we change Newry Civic Park and build a civic centre?
You wish to respond, Councillor Enright?
Councillor Halley has suggested. Pardon? Thank you very much for your contribution, Councillor Sharvin. My colleague, Councillor Howie, has pointed out that the legal site's available, a good site that would suit our staff with good on-site parking. She's also pointed out the Dunn's site, which is a good site with good on-site parking. I'll come on to your point of order, Chairperson. Are we allowed to be barracked during when we're making a reply? Can I be barracked in the middle of a reply?
Councillor Sharvin, if you wouldn't mind, please. Have you finished, Councillor Enright?
As far as I can gather, there are at least 13 sites in the greater Newry area that we could look at, but the ones that some are more practical than others.
Sorry to interrupt, but are you aware of what Councillor Sharvin's question was?
Yes.
You've already summed up.
Yes. Coming to that point, if we meet a situation whereby the roads service is saying we need 376 car parking spots or 373 car parking spots if we are going to move onto the Abbey Way site, then we need to take that seriously. If the NI Water
Councillor Enright, Councillor Sharvin's question was entirely different. Do you want him to repeat it, possibly?
No, I understand. I'm coming on to that. Councillor Riley made a suggestion of the Albert Basin. The Albert Basin is an alternative. It's not what I would choose. I would suggest the Dunn's site or the Lidl site, because that would provide city centre. But what I'm saying is we need a plan B. Not having a plan B is a serious problem in a large capital project.
Councillor Hanlon.
Can I ask a direct question to Councillor Enright and the Alliance Party? Have you read the report? Have you read the report? Because if you read through the report that was done by ASM, an external company, that goes through all the sites that went through, including Lidl. I don't recall saying Dunn's on it. I don't even think Dunn's is for sale. But yet we are constantly going back. You're constantly referring back to the Lidl site, which, if my memory serves me correctly, was number 8. So it was that far down the list as being unsuitable. It was also determined that it was better to use council-owned sites to save the ratepayers' money, which is something that you're bringing to the Chamber tonight, rather than going to private developers and having to use ratepayers' money to pay for private sites. They were deemed unsuitable, but yet we're still rehearsing it. So I'm just going to I want to ask you the question, did you read the report and did you understand the outcome and the recommendations of it?
Yes, Councillor Hammond, I did indeed read the report. We have a situation whereby that report was written in September of 2021. We are now in May of 2024, and the Roads Service are saying they are not happy with our application at the Abbey Way site. The Northern Ireland Water are saying they're not happy with our application at the Abbey Way site. What I'm saying is, as a prudent thing to do in a multi-million pound project would be to have a plan B and to make sure that we have other sites earmarked, because we cannot leave our Newry staff without decent accommodation and parking. Thank you.
Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, I do appreciate you letting me back in again, Chair. You said on the planning committee, Councillor Enright, you know that planning will always scrutinise the planning application. They may come back with conditions. We can't predetermine that at this point. That you know, that is just not... You're nearly jumping ahead into the future here. What I would ask you as well, you're now referring to the Albert Basin, which we all sat in this chamber to... I do recall Councillor Sharvin chairing an SPNR meeting to 20 to 11 at night, discussing, you know, this very subject along with Albert Basin. But are you saying now that we're going to reduce the Albert Basin Park, or that we're going to start to amend it? Or it's, you know, there's so much going on in this chamber. I don't even think you know what you're proposing at this point, because it's going back and forward so much.
Councillor Quinn.
Just a question. See, these issues that are being raised now, obviously, that it's all been signed up for, are we at risk of losing our accelerating funding if we don't complete this project?
Yeah, sure. It's part of our City Deal proposition. So, yes, they're all tied together. And the whole proposition is linked. Newry City Centre regeneration was a package linked as part of the Belfast Region City Deal. So we need to continue on in the delivery. But I also think you have to come back to the principle that we have staff in Newry who are currently... have no space and need space guaranteed to them. I also just want to say, and I think it's important that I say this, inaccurate and misleading comments are not very helpful. And inaccurate and misleading comments potentially could be in breach of the Councillor Code of Conduct. Councillor Enright has referred to the fact that DFI are saying we need 360, I think it was, spaces. And the report actually refers to 2.8, that in the recent DFI correspondence, they've accepted a demand of 133 spaces for the Civic Hub project. So 360, that's an inaccurate statement. And it is those inaccurate statements that cause concern and cause difficulties. I've no issue with challenge, no issue with us looking at the difficulties and the challenges that are faced. But I think it needs to be done in a manner that is actually reflective of the facts. And then we can actually have a conversation just around those challenges. And also, again, just for clarity, want to put on record, and just to clarify with Council, we're not looking at the Albert Basin for a civic centre, because that is not a story we want coming out of this chamber tonight. And I think that's important that the councillors potentially put that as part of their recommendation, that we're not looking at the Albert Basin as a site for a civic centre, because then that is what has been suggested and put forward by Councillor Enright. We would listen to the recording and Councillor Enright referred to the Albert Basin, and we could take a portion of that for design. So I think I'm saying that to keep councillors right, because that would, Councillor Taylor particularly would remember the history of Newry and the park. So I think that's very important for us to say that. There's one other point I want to come back on. Councillor Enright referred to the inability of council officers to deliver capital projects. I have to put on record the skill set of our capital team is immense. The skill set that we have in relation to delivery of capital projects is extensive. There are senior people right across the organisation that have been delivering on capital. There are people at all levels across our organisation that deliver on capital. I think you only have to look at a building like this to say that we've delivered on capital. You just have to look at the various different public realm schemes, the leisure centres, the community centres, the various different parks. So there is an extensive knowledge and skill set within the organisation for delivering upon capital.
Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to outline my full commitment to the 15-acre park that we agreed to, because it was very hard fought for by the local community. And I certainly wouldn't want to be the one to say that we're now going back on that, because I wouldn't support that anyway. But if anybody's suggesting otherwise, I think we need to take a look at where they are on things, because the community made it very clear where they wanted that development to be and what they expect at that site, and we as a council have given a commitment to deliver that, and that's what we should be doing. I suppose just as this debate's been on, I became more confused as to where maybe Councillor Enright, you want to be with us. And that's been genuine, and I understand that there are concerns about this. I outlined this in my first speech on this, that I'm not entering this in blind faith. But I'm entering it from a point of view that as a local representative, and whilst I represent Slieve Cullion DEA and I live in Slieve Cullion DEA, I was born and bred in Newry. My family are still in Newry. I want my sons to live in that area, you know, and stay in the area, because there's regeneration happening. There's exciting prospects for the people that live in the area. And I want to see the place prosper, because I think that's what all of us want to do as a local representative, so any part of the district that we represent. But I genuinely don't know where you are in this now, because you went off into so many different avenues during your portion of speeches there, that do you want this scrap? Do you want the current? And I'm conscious, obviously, that there's a substantial level of investment in it, and there are the need to scrutinise the issues that there are and address those issues, and we may be at a point that those issues can't be addressed. We have to look at something else, but I'm obviously conscious that what maybe you're suggesting now would lead to the complete scrap of the current site and then move on and go through the same process potentially that we went through previously. So it's to try and get some clarity on that as to what your expectation is from tonight. Because Councillor Sharvin's amendment, I fully support that, because I think we should be looking at this, you know, on a regular basis at that group. And certainly the programme board, and what I would say, I suppose, to the management is there are issues, and the programme board should get a regular update on those issues. It's not if and when maybe issues arise. There are issues, so we need them to be addressed and updated on a monthly basis as and when the programme board meets, because I think we all need that assurance that we've been fully briefed on what's happening whenever we're making substantial and crucial decisions about regeneration projects and the money that's involved in this. But it's just to get a bit of clarity, Councillor Enright, as to what your expectation is in terms of this project as it stands, as a proposed building. Is it to scrap it, or is it to go back and look at all the other sites again and forget about where we are at the minute? And then obviously the implications where we as council have to inform the necessary departments and government, you know, that provided that money at this stage, that we're no longer pursuing that, because that's potentially what we're doing, you know. So it's just to get that clarity on that. It's genuine, because I know you have genuine concerns on it. We all do. and we're not, nobody should be entering this in blind faith, but it's just to get in my own head what your expectation is.
Yes, answer chair.
Councillor Enright, I'm conscious of the fact that you have already summed up, and so yes, feel free to answer the direct questions. If I could ask you to stick to the answers.
I have a direct question from Councillor Hanlon, a direct
Thank
question
you.
From Councillor Taylor, and a point made by the Chief Executive. Yeah. Councillor Hanlon, our point is that the Abbeyway site is in serious trouble. And we need to have a plan B. We've suggested the Lidl site or the Dunn site, but we have no preference, so long as we have a decent site with parking for our staff. Councillor Taylor, I think that covers your question as well. We very much want to have an office for our staff and with parking in Newry, but we want to make sure there is a plan B, okay?
Could I ask, even through Councillor Sharvin's the capital projects, that if and when a need arises to encounter that, but we will do that. But what I asked you was, are you proposing here and now that the current site that we have been pursuing over the last number of years, that that's scrapped?
What I'm suggesting is we need, and it's quite clear in my motion and what I've said tonight, that we need a plan B. If we run into serious problems whereby the roads, all Northern Ireland Water, are against it, we need to have a fallback.
You know, not, but it's, I'm careful here. I'm asking genuinely what your expectation is from this. And all I'm getting at the minute is we'll look around a few sites, but what about the current site that we've been working on? And again, and I can't keep emphasising this, there are concerns about the current site, there are issues that need addressed. But are you proposing as part of this that the current site is scrapped? Because there are major implications with that that we as a council need to move forward with as well, if that's what's proposed and agreed.
Thank you. Now, I think I've made it very clear that we think that the current Abbeyway site is running into difficulties, particularly with parking and sewage. And what we're saying is we need to have a plan B to identify an office for our staff for parking and accommodation in Newry. To pick up on what the Chief Executive said, I'll quote directly from the Road Services letter. DFI roads would require the existing parking level of 243 spaces proposed development to be maintained. Council planning have further advised that a further 220 spaces would be required for this proposed development. This equates to overall requirement of 463 spaces. However, they go on to say that they're reducing that 220 to 133 spaces. Thus, there are 376 spaces, as I said earlier, and I have not been inaccurate in quoting the DFI letter. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yeah, can I just maybe add to that, that the letter goes on to say that the specific demand for the building itself is 133, and that's what the Chief Executive has reported. And again, I repeat, the demand for the building itself, the new building, is 133 spaces.
There's one other point I just want, and I think it needs to be said. Councillor Enright refers to there being other sites available, and Councillor Hanlon, has everybody's referred to. This is a project. You start a project at a point in time. You work through the project. If you want to work a project the way that has been described here tonight, you will never deliver anything. Because see, as time moves on, there will always be different things come available. There may be other opportunities. There may be many things that change. But to be very clear, this council looked at no less than 33 sites in Newry for the development of a civic centre and made a decision that the Abbeyway was the site that they were going to develop on. In addition to that, members may or may not remember, because I've had to rehearse it back in my own mind, we actually made a public call to developers to establish if there was an interest in developing on their sites a civic centre, and that was done as well. So we have done an extensive piece of research and an extensive piece of work on this. But you do these things at a point in time, and you have to continue to deliver. And the decisions have been made, and if we adopted the process of keeping going back and changing, we will never, ever deliver anything.
Councillor Sharvin, I'm
going to
let you in but you have spoken considerably already. If you could keep it brief, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And hopefully a number of those things have been point of clarity, not for asking or speaking on. But First of all, I am more than happy to include that the Newry City Park at Albert Basin is not impacted in the current plan that is for that city park continues as is, as part of my proposal. I'm sure Councillor Hanlon, who seconded, is more than happy to second that. If we so need, because I think it is very important, because I certainly picked it up that there was a suggestion that it be built there. And as Councillor Allen said, there has been many SPNR meetings and other meetings that we've had where this item has been extremely challenging, but thank God we are where we are now. But one other thing is, I don't know if Councillor Taylor got the answer that he was hoping for, because I certainly didn't hear it, but my interpretation is, yes, they do want to scrap the current site, so let's go and find a new site. That's what my interpretation was. And I certainly would say if that is the case, that we do scrap the current site, that the department wouldn't foresee that as a good thing, and our external funding may be a challenge, but my proposal certainly not suggesting that.
Councillor Lewis.
Chair, thank you. I wasn't going to speak, but I hang a hat to at this stage. See, all these things, we're continually going through this every night at be it full council or committee meetings. Are these separate projects not discussed in their entirety at the project board each time? And how are we getting in to this same old situation where we have to spend an hour or half an hour rehashing stuff that probably should or probably has already been discussed at length? And it was just to check if all parties have reps on the project, on the project board, and maybe perhaps what we would need to do is perhaps take the time to refresh for some old school councillors and some new councillors where the project come from, where the project has been, and where we intend to go, because we just seem to be going over the same old stuff over and over again.
Chair, just coming in on that briefly. The programme boards do manage the projects, and everybody has, there's councillor representatives on that. They report back through the SPNR committee when there's significant decisions that have to be made. You're absolutely correct. We have been doing this for probably 7 years, 6 years anyway at this stage. That's why I opened the audit review for people to have a look at, to give you that bit of history and understanding of it. Because it is so long and it's so complex when you're dealing with something that goes on for such a period of time. I suppose one of the questions, I think, within Councillor Enright's notice of motion was in relation to, and apologies, don't have it in front of me, I think he refers to the democratic mandate. And is there a democratic mandate? And I suppose that's why we're here tonight again. There is a democratic mandate as far as I was concerned, because Council had taken a decision, it hadn't changed. This will potentially reinforce that democratic mandate. And as officers, we deliver on the democratic mandate of Council.
We need a vote on the officers' recommendations with the amendment. Show of hands. So 8-4, 2 against and 2 abstentions. So that's carried. For the officers' recommendations plus the amendments. Thank you. We're going to move into closed sessions. session. Items deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act NI 2014. Could I have a proposer and seconder for closed session? Councillor McAvoy to propose and Councillor Mathers to second. Whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 5, proposed lease of lands at Oriore Park, Bessbrook. On the proposal of Councillor Quinn, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to enter into a lease with the club noted in the officer's report for a term of 25 years at a peppercorn rent, subject to departmental consent. Item 6, proposed renewal of lease of lands adjacent to Clockray Community Centre. Yes, the spelling here. On the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to approve the recommendations as outlined within the officer's report. Item 7, DFI Rivers and Newry and Mourne District Council legal agreement. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to approve the draft agreement to be signed. Item 8, Newry Leisure Centre, and item 10, Newry Swimming Pool update. On the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed to approve the final invoice and retention owed to contractor as outlined within the officer's report. It was also agreed to approve the final account of Newry Leisure Centre Phase 1 as outlined within the officer's report. It was also agreed to note the verbal update provided by officers regarding the swimming pool within Newry Leisure Centre. Item 9, IT update. On the proposal of Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report. Item 11, LMP funding update. On the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Quinn, it was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report. Item 12, specific delegated function. On the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Quinn, it was agreed to note that delegation has been exercised by the Chief Executive regarding a legal health and safety matter in the best interests of the Council and has been reported in accordance with 3.1.11 of the Council's scheme of delegation for officers. Items 13 to 15 are for noting only. Colin, could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Thank you. That brings us to the end of our meeting. Safe home, everybody.